So this is the parable. The parable of the return journey. And the four elders, headed by Mahakashyapa, they apply this story to their own case. They say, they confess, if you like, that so far they have been contented with inferior things. They've been contented with an inferior spiritual ideal. But they say now the Buddha, in his kindness, in his generosity, has made them heir to all his spiritual treasures, has revealed to them a higher spiritual ideal, has revealed to them the Bodhisattva ideal, the ideal of attaining supreme enlightenment, perfect Buddhahood, for the sake and the benefit, not of themselves alone, but all sentient beings. So they feel overjoyed. They feel as if they'd obtained unexpectedly a priceless jewel. Now this is the general meaning of the parable within the context of the sutra, and it takes us quite far. But we may say that the parable is capable of a much wider application, and in some ways even a deeper application. So we'll go through it point by point, as we did last week with the parable of the burning house, and we'll comment briefly on some of the more important issues, the more important themes involved. But before we do that, I'd like to draw your attention to something that may be of interest. You've all now heard the parable, you've all listened to the parable, and as you were listening to it, you might have felt from time to time that it all had a rather familiar ring, as though you'd heard the parable before, as though you'd encountered this story somewhere else. But thinking back, you know, or at least you're pretty sure, that you haven't read the White Lotus Sutra. After all, it's not the sort of thing you can read one weekend and then forget all about it. But you seem to have heard the parable. You seem to have listened to this story before. So what is the explanation? Well, the explanation is, as some of you might have concluded by this time, the explanation is that the myth or the parable or the return journey resembles a more familiar parable, the parable of the prodigal son. And the parable of the prodigal son is, of course, one of the parables of Christ. And it occurs in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 15. The parable of the prodigal son is told by Christ to elucidate a somewhat different point, and it also has a rather different sequel, but so far as general outline is concerned, we may say it's the same story. In both of the parables, there's an affectionate father, there's a son who runs away, and in both parables, the runaway son lives miserably for a while before returning to the bosom of his father. And in both parables, the position of servant, of employee, is contrasted with the position of son. But though there are resemblances, there are also quite important differences between the two parables, though not perhaps as stories. In the gospel parable, the prodigal son appears to be guilty of willful disobedience, whereas in the White Lotus's parable, the son seems to go astray, to wander, just through carelessness and forgetfulness. And this fact seems to illustrate an important difference between Buddhism and Christianity. Christianity emphasizing, as it were, sin and disobedience and guilt, and Buddhism emphasizing forgetfulness and unmindfulness and ignorance. But we've no time to go into this now.